Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is NFL Not Sunday with Ryan Hannibal, the ultimate
football podcast.
Let's get started with NFL
Not
Sunday. Now here's Ryan Hannibal.
A few days away from the NFL draft, we have no better person to join us than Tony Pauline. Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been all over this draft really since, you know, last season. What stands out most to you about this draft, particularly in the first round? It seems like there really hasn't been much consensus on sort of how things are going to go. Do you sort of see the same?
Yeah, there are a couple things. I mean, it's going to be a defensive-heavy draft, especially in the first round. You're looking at a draft that could be a historic draft as far as the defensive line is concerned. And like you said, I think especially when you compare it to last year, the quarterbacks are all over the board. As you said, there's no consensus, and the reason is because there is much more downside risk and much more bust factor in all the quarterbacks in the 2019 draft compared to what we saw a year ago.
And then looking at the whole draft as a whole, what are some of the positions that you see as being sort of the strength of this draft?
Well, like I said, I mean, it could be a historic draft on the defensive line. Right now I've got 12 defensive ends, defensive tackles, edge rushers, if you will, that grade out as first-round selections. It's not just the quantity of players at the position, it's the quality. I mean, Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, Rashawn Gary, Ed Oliver, these guys all have really great potential at the next level. There are a lot of underrated guys. You look at the Clemson kids, Cleveland Farrell and Christian Wilkins, I think are ridiculously underrated. So I think it's really, you know, in the front defensive line, whether you run a three-man line or a four-man line, a lot of talent there. I think it's a very good tight end draft. Again, you don't have really any true superstars at the top, although T.J. Hockenson is probably one of the few top 15 choices. But you've got great depth in the third, in the second, third, and even fourth round. You may have at least 12 tight ends selected in the first 125 picks, which is a huge number. It's not a bad cornerback class. You know, there's some question as who the top cornerback is, but when you get in that second, third round area, you're going to be able to come out of it with the guy that could play nickel packages for you at the next level and could eventually develop into a starter.
Now we're going to do some Patriots specific questions right here, and I guess we'll start off with, is there any chance that T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant would be available to them at all?
T.J. Hockenson, absolutely not. Noah Fant, I doubt it, especially with the Green Bay Packers having that second selection late in round one. If the Green Bay Packers go offensive line early in round one, I think if Noah Fant falls to them with that second selection in round one, I think that's the guy they jump all over. So right now I think it'd be a stretch for Noah Fant to move all the way down to the 32nd choice.
Do you see any scenario that they might fall to, you know, the late teens, early 20s, and maybe, you know, the Patriots trade up as they try to find a replacement for Rob Gronkowski, or do you think that they're just going to go too high and that's really not worth it, maybe because of the other tight ends that are behind them?
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. Plus, you know, Bill Belichick's tendencies have been actually to trade down in the draft, to collect extra selections, you know, trade a second-round pick this year for a first-round selection next year. Now, granted, it may be a little bit different because the clock is ticking, but I don't see that. That's really not what Belichick has done. He's been a master at working the draft, and with the depth at the position, you know, he may be better off trading back from round one into the second round, getting a highly rated tight end who may be there, maybe a Dawson Knox in the middle of round two, Jay Sternberger of Texas A&M, a good tight end, and collecting extra selections.
So if they were to stay at number 32, who are some tight ends to keep an eye on? Like you said, is it Sternberger, maybe Irv Smith? Of that sort of second tier, who stands out to you?
Well, if Irv Smith is there, he's my number 3 rated tight end right at that point. I think that's a guy that they would like. Not as big as Gronkowski, but similar in the way that when Gronkowski came into the league, he was a tight end that played the position like a possession receiver. Smith goes about 6'2 and a half, 242 pounds, ran a 4.63 at the combine. He plays to that speed. Really doesn't have a big body of work. Really burst onto the scene last season, 2018. But I really think that's the only guy that you consider in round one. After that, you're looking at primarily second, third round choices, which is why I say if they're not settled on any of the guys in round one, but they want a tight end, they're probably better off trading down, getting some extra selections, and then taking one of the many tight ends that will be available on the second day of the draft.
Another need for the Patriots seems to be on the defensive line. And, you know, if they were to stay at number 32, who are some potential D tackles and maybe some DNs that might be available to them then?
Jerry Tillery of Notre Dame is a guy who should be there late in round one. He's someone who would usually go in the middle of the first round, but there's so much talent at the defensive line position, he could fall down to them. I think that would be a consideration. Draymond Jones, a little bit undersized, but is a guy who is very athletic, very explosive. Belichick has had some success with guys from Ohio State. Makes a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. Moves well laterally. If they're looking for a pure edge rusher, Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech is a good fit in the very late final selections of round one, early round two. Broke Terrell Suggs' NC2A sack record. A guy that is constantly menacing opposing offenses and someone that you really have to game plan around. Terrific edge rusher who has got some growth potential and could be a good run defender down the line.
If you were to give a prediction now with the Patriots number 32, what would it be? Would they take a player? Would they trade up, trade back? What would you necessarily do if you were, you know, Bill Belichick?
Based on their history, I think he'd probably rather trade down, get some extra selections, and then maybe look tight end or even defensive line in round two, because it's a good year in the sense that there is a lot of depth at the positions that they need. They probably want to come out of the draft with a couple of different players at each position. So I think, I would think that based on their history and based on their success in doing so, I think it's probably, if you're looking at smart money, he trades down and gets extra choices.
Mm-hmm. Another big topic around in New England is the quarterbacks. And what do you see out of this year's class? You know, it doesn't seem like it's as strong as in years past, but you never know what happens in the first round. You could get a run on quarterbacks. Do you buy into the thought at all that the Patriots would be interested in a first-round quarterback?
I mean, if a guy like Daniel Jones happens to slide down to him, which I thought Daniel Jones of Duke would do at one point in time, I think that'd be a perfect fit. I mean, he's a cerebral quarterback, which is what the Patriots like. He's a guy that they could develop over the course of time. He's got, decent size at 6'5 and change, 221 pounds. He's got a lot of upside. Played in an NFL system at Duke under a real good coach, David Cutcliffe. So I think if Daniel Jones somehow slides down there, I think that would be a selection for them in round one. You know, later on, I think they could come out of the draft with a solid quarterback in the second day of the draft. Maybe Jarrett Stidham of Auburn, who I like a lot, just needs a little bit of time and experience and seasoning playing in an NFL offense. He's got the physical skills. So I think that's a situation where, the Patriots can take him. And the Patriots have drafted quarterbacks in the past. They've just traded them. I mean, mm-hmm. Whether it be Garoppolo, whether it be Jacoby Brissett. So people keep saying that the Patriots haven't addressed their quarterback need. They have addressed it. It's just that they've, turned those quarterbacks into draft picks or other players that they thought would be more helpful to them.
What are your thoughts on Ryan Finley from NC State? He's a guy that has a lot of experience, which the Patriots like, out of their quarterbacks. Do you see him as a fit? Where does he fit in your rankings?
Right now, I have Finley as a fourth-round pick. Came into the season as the highest-rated quarterback by NFL scouts, highest-rated senior quarterback, I should say. He was actually rated higher than Drew Lock coming into the season by NFL scouts. He's more of a game manager. He's a smart, cerebral guy, very accurate, does a great job with his pass placement. Didn't have the season that people expected. If he really performed well as a senior and then had a good showing at the Senior Bowl, I think he would be in the talk, in the equation and narrative as the top 42 selection. He's got a good amount of upside. With Ryan Finley, it's a situation where you just got to get him a little bit bigger. Doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but that can be improved, you know, in a weight training program, and then hope that he can get his game back to where it was in 2017.
What's your take on Josh Rosen? If you're the Patriots, do you call Arizona? What's your thought on that? Maybe what the Cardinals are planning as well.
Yeah, I absolutely would. Rosen has a personality that rubs some people the wrong way, but I think Bill Belichick could work with him, and I think the New England Patriots organization could work with him, basically harness him and keep him focused. If Josh Rosen was in this year's draft, he's the top-rated quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's the most precise passer. He's the most accurate. He's the guy, unlike, you know, some of the quarterbacks in this year's draft, that really elevates the play of everyone else around them. So if he becomes available, which I think he eventually will, and I'm the Patriots, you know, I'm absolutely picking up the phone and seeing, you know, if you could parlay that the 32nd pick into Josh Rosen. I think that would be a steal for the Patriots for a variety of reasons. It's just a matter of, you know, does Bill Belichick and the organization feel that Rosen's personality is a good fit for that team?
Yeah, do you think that's what's going to take to potentially land Rosen, is potentially a late first-round pick? There, you know, it's been, you know, varying reports of what it would take to get him. Some said a third-rounder, you know, a couple months ago. What do you think would ultimately, you know, get the Cardinals to trade Josh Rosen?
Well, I mean, it still depends on the supply and demand. I mean, the more teams that are in the market for Josh Rosen, whether it be, you know, the Patriots, possibly San Diego Chargers, Washington Redskins, that's going to drive the price up. I don't think it's going to go for a third rounder, because I don't think the Cardinals will let him go for a third rounder. But if you're looking for a second round pick, I mean, if a team like the Washington Redskins are offering their pick in the second round, Patriots are going to have to come up with a bit of a better offer, and that would be their 32nd choice.
Mm-hmm.
The 32nd choice in the draft, I'm sorry.
Yep. And the Patriots have 6 picks in the top 101, so clearly, you know, a lot at the top. And when you look at their needs, wide receiver is probably at the top of the list. Belichick hasn't had a great deal of success of, you know, picking receivers or even doing it, for that matter, high in the draft. Do you see any of the guys that could stand out to the Patriots maybe on day two as receivers?
There'll be a lot of good day two receivers where they're selected. Terry McLaurin of Ohio State had a solid senior season. Wasn't off the charts, but really in the pre-draft process has checked all the boxes. Was great at the Senior Bowl, ran 4.35 during Pro Day, looked good in position drills. I think he's positioned himself as a second rounder. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside of Stanford, 6'2", 225 pounds. Really has been a scoring machine for Stanford, a guy who gets up and really wins out for the contested throws. Ran much faster than people expected at his pro day workout. Ran a 4.51. Riley Ridley, I think, would be a good fit for them. Terrific route runner, decent size, 6'1.5", 199 pounds. Didn't run all that well at the combine. Ran just under in the high 4.5s. But again, a very good route runner with dependable hands. So, you know, in that second, third round, if they want to get a good receiver, you're not really looking at number one receiver. You're looking at number twos and number threes. They'll be able to come out of the second day of the draft with one of those guys.
A local kid out of UMass, Andy Isabella, great combine, tested out really well. What are you hearing on him, and what are your thoughts on him? Not necessarily to the Patriots, but just overall, where do you see him potentially going?
Yeah, and he'd be a great fit for the Patriots because he's their type of receiver. You know, not only a great combine, but a great senior season. I mean, he was the guy who was, he's just a gamer. I believe he had 15 receptions in the game against Georgia. 7 of them were at halftime, and even though UMass basically got blown out of the water, the Georgia defense could not stop Andy Isabella. He's quick, he's fast, he runs great routes, he finds ways to separate, he plays tough, smart football. The only problem with Isabella is his lack of height. He's under 5'9", 188 pounds. You know, can he line up on the outside, or is he solely a slot receiver? Although there's been more and more importance placed on slot receivers in the league in recent years, I think he's going to go somewhere in the third round area. Going to be a very good slot receiver, return specialist, punt return at the next level.
What are your thoughts on Hunter Renfro? He's a guy that's been connected to the Patriots for really years now. Do you see him as being, you know, an impactful NFL player?
It depends on what your definition of impactful is. Do I think that Hunter Renfro is the type of guy that can come up in the big spot? Absolutely. That's all he did at Clemson. But is Hunter Renfro the type of guy that's going to make 5, 6, 7 receptions on a game-in, game-out basis? I don't think he will. He just doesn't have the physical skills. 5'10 and a half, 184 pounds, just broke 4.6 seconds at the combine. I think he's a last day pick. I personally have him as a 6th round prospect. I think he can play at the next level, but he does have some limitations. I think with Renfro, you're looking more at a 4th or 5th receiver at the next level who, you know, will make the big reception on 3rd down, will make the big reception in the red zone. But if you're looking for a guy to produce big numbers on a week-in, week-out basis, I don't think Renfro's that type of receiver.
And then lastly, you got one big general question sort of on the draft process and how everything works. From your experience, what do you sort of look for when you're connecting players to teams the most? Is it what has most importance? Is it, you know, the meetings at the combine, the pro days, the top 30 visits? Are the top 30 visits sometimes more smokescreens in a way? Like, what do you look at most when you're sort of determining, you know, what, you know, players might be most connected to certain teams?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, top 30 visits, really not that much. I rely on what people tell me on the inside. I look at the team needs, and then I try and match it with the best player combined with what I'm hearing. So, you know, once in a while you hear something off the beaten path. You may go in that direction, and you kind of squint, and you say, well, I hope this is right. But I rely on what people tell me, and I rely on, you know, what the team needs as well as what I see on film because I do my own scouting for 11 and a half months a year. So, you know, I'm not going to have a guy like Andy Isabella going early in round 2 if I think he's a 3rd round prospect.
So when you see the Patriots bring in all these wide receivers and quarterbacks, is that do you read into that at all, that they're interested in those positions, or is it more maybe those guys have questions? Like, what do you think most teams, especially the Patriots, use their top 30 visits for?
Yeah, you know, the Patriots, I've noticed the trend with the Patriots where if they're bringing in a certain position or a lot of players at a certain position, they usually don't select players.
Right, exactly.
They're in the draft, and I've charted that for a while. You know, you get to say they're bringing all these linebackers, they're going to go linebacker, and then they don't take a linebacker. So I don't think that you can go by that. You know, a lot of times when they bring in players, it's usually because they have questions about players.
Yep.
Maybe there's a character issue. Maybe they want to test his football intelligence. Maybe they want to give him another exam. So that's why a lot of teams bring players in. You know, if you're sold on a player, you know he's got a squeaky, quick, clean background. You were able to spend time with him at the Senior Bowl, the Combine. Not really worth bringing that guy in if you already know all about him or you're satisfied knowing about him either on a positive note or a negative note.
Thanks so much, Tony. Really appreciate the insight. We'll be following you along all next week leading up to the draft. Thanks again. We can follow you on Twitter at Tony Pauline. Tony, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.